if losing was actually winning? What if less was actually more? What if your renewal started with removal?
We're so excited to be able to bring you the word today. Before we do anything, I'd like to just quickly, for everyone here, everyone sitting on the lawn today, and everyone tuning in online, man, I am so grateful for some online church today when it's 110 and raining. You know, it's just like, man, I better get in church as fast as I can because you just never know. You just never know. So I'm so thankful for online church where we can beat the heat and the rain or the lightning, whatever you need to do to be able to tune in. We're just so grateful to see you. And I just want to take a minute to introduce myself if this is your first time tuning in or joining us in the lawn today. My name is Elliot. My wife Tiffany and I have the great privilege of pastoring this group of people called Lifeline Church. Come on, God's people, let's give it up for God. He's amazing. He is amazing. I just want to take a moment and welcome you again and let you know that you are not tuning in by accident. You're not on the lawn by accident. You didn't show up today by accident. No. It might be your 200th time here. It might be your first time tuning in. But we believe, and we say this every week because we believe it every week, that God has a message for you, a message of hope, encouragement, and love that he wants to speak into your life today. If you believe that, say amen. Amen activates our faith and just means let it be done. So if you want that to be the truth, it's a helpful thing just to say amen, let it be done. Let that message of hope, encouragement, and love speak into our lives today. So speaking of a heartfelt message, I want to take a moment to quickly introduce a friend of mine. Today we have a friend visiting from a church in Stockton, Mosaic Church in Stockton. I just love that name. I love the name Mosaic, where things just are coming together and it's like a beautiful mess. Can I say that? Messes are good sometimes because it's just free. The church in Mosaic been planted there for a number of years, and we've been friends for much longer than that. I want you to give a heartfelt welcome to my friend, Tyler Etter. Pastor Tyler, come on, give it up for him. And here you go. You got your stand, you've got your mic. Take it away, brother.
Perfect. I think Elliot's taller than me, and the mic stand is still, or the stand is too low, but that's all right. I fixed it. We're good.
That's all. You can't see
me. Tell you a funny story. When I was, this has nothing to do with my message at all, so I just thought I'd share it with you, but when I was in eighth grade, I was one of the tallest kids in my grade, right? And I thought for some reason that I was going to be 6'5", 6'6". I was 5'10 at the time and was this big, burly power forward on my basketball team. And that's as tall as I ever got in eighth grade. And my basketball career just was downhill from there. And so I wish I was as tall as Elliot. Even a couple more inches would have made me feel a lot better. It is good to be with you this morning. Good to be back in Lodi and with friends. Ellie and Tiffany have been friends of ours for, even before they were married, I think we were friends. And just great people, great church. Really love the energy and the passion that is here at Lifeline. And just so glad to be with you. My wife, Cassie, and my daughter, Simone, are here as well. And our little, we have a little baby on the way in, not in me, but in my wife, in January. And we're excited about that for number two. And we live just right down the road in North Stockton. And we've pastored the church there, Mosaic, for the last almost 5 years. We planted the church in Stockton because we felt like God called us to be there. And so we've been faithful to what the Lord has called us to do. This is our second location. We used to live kind of in downtown Stockton, and now we live on the north side, close to Lodi. So we're just excited to be here. And every time I come, I wonder if this is the last time that I'm going to be invited back to Lifeline, because I'm not sure if I'm just going to say something a little too ridiculous. So maybe this is my chance this morning, and this might be my last time with you, but hopefully not. So I know everyone's been saying it, but it's a strange time to be alive, right? It's a strange time to be a human. I never thought in my wildest fears, I guess, that we would be in the middle of a pandemic in 2020, and that we our life would change so much, right? My wife and I constantly talk about, can't even take our daughter to the park. We can't go to the zoo. We can't. There's all these different things that we used to be able to do and go to the grocery store. I was helping somebody move yesterday, and I stopped at the Chevron station to get some Gatorade, and I didn't have my mask on me, and I was so worried about it. It's like, 6 months ago, I would never even thought about a mask, right? And so I had to like cover my face up and try to go in there. And we live in a really strange time. And even more than that, we live in a strange time because it just feels like up is down and down is up and right is wrong and everything kind of goes. And we live in a really strange world. Maybe you feel like it's normal, but to me, it feels very abnormal. My wife and I constantly talk about just how things have changed, even since February. You know, a trip to the gas station or the grocery store is different than it was before. I mean, it just is a totally different environment. We're constantly surrounded by people wearing masks. All of a sudden, hand sanitizer is gold, right? I went to the store the other day, and I asked them if they had hand sanitizer because I work in construction, and I'm constantly driving around and meeting guys and this different kind of stuff, and I wanted to have it in my truck. And they were like, this little tiny bottle is $5. And I'm like, what? $5? Like 3 months ago, this was like a buck, right? And of course I bought it because I needed the hand sanitizer, right? But we live in a weird world, right? And even for the church, it's had to change, right? We've had to go online. We've had to adjust the way that we meet together. We've had to create social distance with one another. We've had to rely on text messages and phone calls, and we haven't been able to meet in Bible studies the way we used to, and all of these different things that have sort of changed regarding the church as we've had to adjust to living in 2020 and the weirdest probably year that we've ever had. And so I just think as I've been processing through what life has changed into, I think that during this unstable and chaotic time, it would make sense that maybe our approach to God might change as well. As our surroundings change, maybe our perspective on who God is and our connection, our relationship with God may adjust. And that isn't to say for one moment that verse behind me is not true, right? That Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God is unwavering. He never stops being loving. He never stops being powerful. He never stops being who he is, that his core, his character never changes. But I would argue that as our relationships with our fellow believers change, that our relationship with God changes as well. It adjusts. It doesn't mean that it's worse. It doesn't mean that it's better. It just changes. And I truly believe that our walks with the Lord are more intimate, they're stronger, and they're more powerful as we live in community with one another. When we're able to worship together as the church, and we're going to read together in Hebrews chapter 10, just about the beauty of just community, of dwelling together, of being together. Whether that might be, you might be in Australia right now watching on Facebook or wherever this is broadcast, or you may be out here on the lawn, right? You may be down the street watching on your TV. I don't know where you're at, but as our connection with one another changes, our connection with God changes. And so I believe that when we're together, my Christianity and your Christianity is fuller, it's deeper, and it's more alive than it would have been alone, right? I truly believe that you can give your life to Christ, right? You can pray the prayer and you can devote your life to Christ and you can go hide in your house and live a solitary Christianity. But I don't think that Christianity is as good and as full and as powerful as it is when we live together, because I don't believe that this is a solitary calling, walking with God. It's a communal calling that we live together. And so you don't have to take my word for it. If you have a Bible out there with you, you can turn to Hebrews chapter 10. I'm going to be reading out of the New Living Translation this morning. And if you are taking notes, I'm not a huge note taker because I can't take notes and listen at the same time. That's two things at the same time, and I can only do one. The message title for this one is Deeper Faith. And so instead of reading all of Hebrews 10, which would take us a long time, I want to explain the first section of Hebrews 10, and then we're going to read some other spots in the middle. So we find the author of Hebrews, which is kind of up for debate, who wrote the book of Hebrews. We find him or her talking about the great failure of the law of Moses to save God's people, right? To rescue us from our own sin, our own brokenness, right? We were separated from God. And then we find the author talking about the sacrifice that Jesus makes on the cross that we might have forgiveness, right? The shed blood that he has for us, right? That covers all of our sins that we've ever done in the past and all the ones that we will do until we go be in heaven. Jesus' blood has covered all of those things. And then the author talks about the new life that Christ has given us, this new birth, right? We're literally reborn as something more than human, right? We're reborn as followers of Christ, as people who are united with the very deity of God. We are connected with God by the Holy Spirit, and we've brought into this new life. It's a story that he's telling of a move from a spiritual death to eternal life, right, that we have in God. And this is the beginning of our true relationship with our Creator God. By one man's sacrifice, not only do we have true community with the Lord, but we have true community with his church. You do know that when you come to know Christ, you're not just accepting God, you're accepting all of God's people, right? It's a package deal. You get both of them, right? Whether you want to or not. I've been in church my whole life. Sometimes I don't want to be part of that true community with other people because it's hard sometimes, right? Sometimes I just want to go sit with God and turn on the worship music and be by myself, and that's great. But when we come to know Christ, we also come to know God's people. We also become part of God's church. So let's pick it up in verses 16 and 17 together, talking about the promises of God that the author shares with us. It says, "This is the new covenant I will make with my people on that day, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds. He says, I will never again remember their sins and their lawless deeds." What a beautiful thing. I'm so glad, and I hope that you are too, that God does not remember my lawless deeds, because there are a lot of them. And they weren't just like from a long time ago. They were like from yesterday, right? I'm so glad that God's forgiveness doesn't remember my lawless deeds, right? There's such beauty in this passage about this new covenant, right? That we become God's people, that we are grafted in to the family of God. And that he puts his laws on our hearts. He writes them on our hearts and plants them within us. And they flow forth from our lives. That he makes this promise to us. It's just so beautiful what God says to us. Sometimes I just read scripture and I'm just like in awe of just the things that God offers us. I'm like, why? Why would you give that to me? I don't deserve that. But I think more than just what he's saying, I think we need to look at who he's talking to this morning. He doesn't say this one person or that or Elliot or whoever else. He says, my people, their hearts, their minds, theirs. He uses this plural language that includes all of us, right? Talking about this communal relationship that we have with God. That our walk with Jesus is not a solitary one. It is not an alone one. It is one that we live not in isolation from others, but in relationship with others. It is to be lived together in harmony and connection with one another. And I don't know about you, but during this season, my walk with God has been weird. And I hope it's okay for a pastor to say that, that their walk with God has been weird. I just want to remind you that pastors are also humans. So we also feel all the same things that everybody else feels, right? Sometimes people put us on a pedestal and I just would ask that you would just cut that pedestal from out underneath us because we're just human beings like everyone else. But I don't know about you, but I've felt this distance from God, this loneliness, even a depression, even a yearning just to see my people, right? My church people again. You know, when you're away from people that you love, you miss them, right? There's this yearning that's been inside of my heart. And this struggle, I think, comes from my desire that God has given me to be with his church, to be in community, to be in relationship again with his people. If anybody felt that way during this season, just feeling far from folks, feeling away from folks, feeling like they're missing that connection, I think we all are feeling this. I think a lot of us are feeling this way. And I think this is at the heart of the author of Hebrews, that community is vital to a deeper faith, that the depth of our relationship with Jesus depends on our depth of our relationship with others, right? We have to be able to play well with others to have the depth of relationship with God. Let's skip on to verses 22 through 25, and I'm going to read this section out of the English Standard Version, so I'm messing you guys all up this morning, but you can go back and look at it on your own. It says, "Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as the day draws near." And so what I always pick out of this passage is the common verse that says, do not neglect meeting together, right? Do not neglect gathering together or coming together to be the church, right? But I think God is saying even more than just come back together, come dwell together, wherever you might be. The beauty of God is that the Holy Spirit doesn't exist within this building in Lodi, California, right? The beauty of God is that the Holy Spirit exists within us. And so wherever we are, God is there also. And so wherever we're watching or listening or whatever, however that works, God is there, right? And we have community through this cyberspace. I don't know how it works. I don't know how a cloud or the internet works. I'm going to let somebody else figure that out. But God can flow through those things and be in those places and be with all of us in those spots. And so I believe as we're reading this morning that God is giving us three commandments with three corresponding promises. So I'm going to start with the commandments first. I know we love that. We love like words like commandments and words like obedience and words like suffering and words like, follow the rules. We like things like that when God tells us that. That we love that just as much as we love hearing like love and peace and joy and all those things, right? But believe it or not, Christianity involves obedience and commands and things that God wants us to do. So the first one is draw near. Seek intimacy with God and his people. Don't shy away or live a solitary Christianity. Instead, lean in, fight for community, and trust God and others. That word trust is a hard one too, right? Because to live in community, you have to trust. And to trust, you have to risk. And sometimes when you risk, people are going to let you down. That's how life goes, right? But if we don't risk and we don't trust and we don't try to live that way, then we miss out on the depth of relationship and we feel alone and we feel solitary and we feel like it's all on us to figure it out. And so draw near, seek intimacy. Call those people in your life that you miss. Get on FaceTime, right? Text them, care for one another, send them a letter. There's this thing called the Postal Service. You can put a little stamp on there for all you young people. You can put a stamp on there and their address, and then you put it in this thing called a mailbox, and then they'll ship it to their house, right? And you can put a little note in there. I know it's not email or a Facebook or a Messenger or any of those things, but you can send people a letter. Second, it says, hold fast. So don't allow the world to blow your flame of faith out. Instead, allow the roots of your belief to grow deep down into the Lord and become strong. Like I said earlier, we live in a time and a place where right and wrong and good and bad and evil and good are muddy in our culture, to say the least, right? We all can just feel whatever we feel and do whatever we want to do and all of these different things. But God is saying for us to hold fast. Look at the word of the Lord for which we live our lives. What does God tell us to do? Not what we see on the television or read on Facebook or see on Instagram, but what is the Lord telling us to do? Let that flame of faith be fanned in our hearts through the word of God. Hold fast to God. And third, consider how to stir one another up. Look for ways to change the world together. There are opportunities in the midst of everything. There's this man that I work with named Roger, and he's not a Christian, and he's a great businessman, but he said the opportunities are just as hard to see now as they were to see 30 years ago. This guy's worth like, I don't know, $10 bajillion. And he made all these really right moves, but he says, it wasn't like back then it was easy to see them. It's just as hard to see them as it was when I was back there 30 years ago. And so it's hard to see sometimes the opportunities. But as we gather together and we put our brains and our hearts together, that we can be a mutual encouragement to one another to do good in our world. There's lots of opportunities. People are in need of lots of things. And so look for ways to stir one another up into what God is calling us to do. And now comes the three promises. This is the better part, I think. And we got done with the commands, and now we're on the promises. But you have to do the commands to get to the promises. It's kind of a package deal, right? So the first one is that we will have intimacy in our relationships with Christ and with others. That we will not be alone, but we'll be surrounded by love. When we lean into community, we get community in return. Right, we get the love of one another. We get that encouragement. And I mean, even in this season of our lives, Cassie and I have had some difficult connections with some people in our church. And we've called Elliot and Tiffany and asked them to pray for us and stand with us and believe with us. Right, and that's been mutually encouraging for us. We find love in that community. We find connection. We find joy. We find hope in the midst of that. Right, that we have friends that we can lean on in the midst of the hard things that we go through. And that will lift us up in faith, right? The second one is that we will have deep strength that comes from faith in Christ and community with others. That we won't be tossed around by the storms of this life, but we will remain rooted and grounded in Christ. Right? There's lots of things to toss us every which way in life, right? Finances and politics and all the other things that are kind of floating around us. But when we draw near and hold fast and consider how to stir one another up, I believe that our roots will grow deep down into who God is, and that when the storms of this life come, and they will, that's a guarantee, that we will hold fast in the Lord, that we will have a roots that are deep and that are strong, and that when all the things swirl around, we will know that we know that we know that God is with us and God is for us, and nothing about our relationship with God will change in the midst of those hard things. And third, we will be a part of a great movement of God and his church. We won't live in a stale life, but we will look to change the world one conversation at a time. Right. When we join in community, we are stronger together. We can do more together than we can do alone. Right. We can accomplish so much more when we come together as the community of the church and we work together to see God move in our world. And so you see, our faith is not an individualistic one. I know that's totally against everything American right now. Individualism is like gold in our culture. But our relationship with God is not an individualistic relationship. It's a communal one. It goes stronger and deeper and more powerful as we connect with other believers. We can be and accomplish so much more as we work together as the church. And so in this season of life, in this weird moment in which we live, I encourage you to seek a deeper faith and community with others. Church will look different than it ever has before. Our church typically meets on Saturday nights at 5:00, and we meet in our home, and we have a meal together, and we meet inside, and we enjoy each other's company, and we sometimes people are at our house until 9:00. Well, we can't do that anymore. Right? We can't meet inside. We can't do those things the same way. And so now we meet on Saturday mornings, which is weird for us. We've never been a morning church. I used to always make jokes every time I would speak that people still meet in the mornings for church. That's so weird, right? But now we meet on Saturday mornings in our sunroom in the back of our house because that's what the government tells us to do. And so that's what we're doing. And it's been really cool. It's been different. We have breakfast together instead. And we sit in the backyard. And my daughter's running all over the backyard and doing all these things. And it's different. But it's beautiful. Right? And so we adjust. We change. We've started sending out little YouTube videos to our congregation during the week. Just little encouragements. We never did that before. We're not as cool as Elliot and Tiffany. They've been doing those forever. But we've adjusted. We started text messaging people and calling people more frequently and just finding other ways to connect with one another. Just because it's different doesn't mean it's bad. It actually means it's good. We're reaching so many more people by the technology that we have. And so I just encourage you to just think differently, right? Has it been different? Sure. But also it's been a cool change. The church has had to adapt. And I think we're getting better. I think we're growing. I think we're connecting more. I think we're finding new ways to reach folks. So my encouragement is just that we would all allow the Spirit of God to build us together as his church, not in fragmentation, but in community and in relationship with one another. And so my question to us is just, can we do that together? Can we seek relationship? Can we seek deeper relationship with God? And in the midst of that, can we seek deeper relationship with his church? Can we do that this morning? So I'm going to pray for us, and then I'm going to have to hand it off to Pastor Elliot, and I think he's got some other things to say. So, Lord, we thank you for this morning. We thank you that you are good to us, that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. God, how much we need a God that does not change in the midst of a world that is constantly changing. But Lord, we pray that you would allow us to seek a communal faith that isn't just based on what I need, God, but is based on what your church needs. It's based on what your believers need. It's based on what we need together, God. Let us look for new ways to connect, new ways to serve, and new ways to love, and new ways to talk to one another, and new ways to have church, God. Not so that we can just have another Christian huddle, but so that we can see the kingdom of God grow, so that we can see new people all over the world coming to know Christ and joining in, not in just relationship with you, God, but joining in relationship with your people. God, let us change the way that we see the world around us. God, we thank you so much for who you are. We thank you that in the midst of a pandemic, God, that you are steadfast and that you are strong, that we can run to you and we can lean on you, God. I feel this morning as I'm praying, God, that there are people who are here, there are people that are watching online that just feel tossed by the waves of this life. They just feel like their life is upended, and you are saying to them that you are strong, that you are firm, that they can turn to you wherever they are in their living room, and they can get on their knees and they can come to you, God, and that you will be solid for them. That your promises will be true this morning, no matter what they're facing, no matter what they're going through. God, that you are real in this moment. God, we pray that you would flood us with your love this morning, that you would flood us with your security this morning, God. That wherever we're at, God, that we would not only feel your presence, but we would feel the presence of your community that has come together for no other reason but to see your glory move in our midst, God. We are so thankful and grateful for you. Let us see each other and let us see you with new and fresh eyes today, in this week, in this month, in this year. We thank you, we thank you, we thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, brother. Well, I don't know about you, but I definitely got something that is going to change my reality today. Pastor, thank you so much for sharing that. And I think one thing was resonating the most from that was your story about Roger. I don't know this guy, never met him, but something just rang into my heart and mind I want to share with you, and that is something about the stock market. I don't know, Tiffany and I are trying to get our retirement going, so we're in there, and so maybe that's why I was thinking this way, but when things are down, that's when you want to invest the most. And God showed me how that translates. Because things are down right now. People aren't feeling very good. People are suffering in their health. People are suffering in their finances. People are suffering in their relationships. So guess what, everybody? Guess what on the lawn? Guess what, Facebook, YouTube? It's time to invest. That's what I got. It's time to invest. It's time to draw near. It's time to press in. It's time to give it an extra effort. We've had it easy for many years. If you've been in the church any length of time, man, it was a good time to be at church and hoopty-la and celebrations and full rooms and all that stuff. That's when everything's fine, you know? But when things are down, people get antsy. They start to draw back. They don't draw near, they draw back. That's a good word today. That is a good word today. It's time to draw near. It's time to invest more. It's time to lean into what God is doing in our lives. It's time to draw near and lean into our Bible reading. It's time to lean into our relationships and text more people and call more people and draw in. It's a package deal, isn't it, Pastor Duh? We get the people of God with God himself. We're a body. And if you've been paying attention at all, just Jesus said it himself when he was answering his followers. When's the end going to come? When are these things going to happen? He said, look up and look at the sky. You know when it's going to rain outside. You know when it's going to be a hurricane. Such the times will be when the end draws near. And I don't know about, well, I looked outside. It was a red sky this morning when the sun came up. And it's hot and it's raining and it's lightning. And I'm going, God, what are you doing? You know what that makes me think of? And it might make you think of too. It's time to press in. Because no day is promised to us. No day is promised to us. You and me, all of us, everybody listening online, we're walking miracles. It's time to draw in. It's time to draw near. I want you to, I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes with me, because I believe it's time for some people to draw near to Jesus. And maybe this might be your first time and you didn't know that the grace of God was so free. It costs everything, and at the same time, it costs nothing. It costs everything because we give our whole lives to him. We give our whole lives to you, God. But it costs nothing because we don't have to do anything to earn it. If you didn't know the gospel was that way, if you didn't know the good news was that way, well, I've got good news for you. It's time. God has been waiting for this moment. He's ordained this moment for you. So we're going to pray a simple prayer of salvation. And I would ask, no matter where you are, if you're watching outside or online, anywhere you're listening, that if you would just pray this prayer with me. This is between you and God right now. But let's all pray together, especially if you're already walking with him. It's not a bad thing to pray this prayer again. So let's pray this prayer together. Say, Father God, thank you for sending your son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross for my sin so that I can be the righteousness of God. So I accept your son, Jesus, as my Savior. I give my life to you, all my mistakes, all my failures, all my shortcomings, and all my strengths. It's all yours. Fill me with your Spirit and show me the path that I should take. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, everybody. Can we celebrate for everyone who made that decision today? Or if you're watching next week and you made that decision, I'm so proud of you. We're so grateful that you tuned in today. I got a couple next steps and then we're going to let you go. The first next step is that you can give through the church. you give through the church. We say give through the church, not give to the church, because it's actually, we're giving to the community and blessing the community and helping people and doing services and all of this. Was anybody fed today? Was anybody blessed by the message today? We give through a church, not to a church. Actually, testimony from last week is that some people trusted God with their giving. And they texted me about it. If you missed it, we talked about giving a little bit. And some people texted me and said, hey, I trusted God with my finances. And in the parking lot, God answered one of my prayers that I've been praying for a long time. And I'm like, I knew that would happen, but I was surprised, but I knew it, but I was surprised, you know, because God is so good. He's so surprising. And when we trust God to give through a local church, we know that we're not just giving to some organization. No, we're giving to the community through the church. So there's a few different ways to do that. You can text 84321. You can hit the Facebook donate button. You can go on our website. There's a link there. And you can also mail it, like the thing Tyler was talking about. They've got these little things called envelopes. You put stuff in them, and then you put a stamp on them, give it to someone wearing blue, and they take it wherever you want it to go. It's amazing. So you can do that. You can mail it to 500 Park Street here in Lodi, California. And another next step is getting involved in a life group. Oh, what a timely next step. What a timely next step for today's message is that we need this. Not only is it a calling, not only is it a command, like Pastor was sharing with us, but it's something that we benefit from. Hey, that's a mutually beneficial relationship when you can call someone when you're having trouble and say, hey, can you just pray with me about this? And I just need to get this off my chest. And having a healthy person on the other end of that line to just talk with you and just listen and not try and staple all kinds of advice to your forehead, man, that's a blessing. It really is. We need that more than we've ever needed it before. It's time to invest, everybody, because the market's down a little bit, but God's not going out of business. Come on, somebody. God's not going out of business. It's time to invest. It's time to invest. And I'm not just talking about money. I'm talking about relationships, connections. Get involved in a life group. You're going to love it. Another next step is to be a lifeline. It's our name, but it's also who we are. It's what we do. When we changed our name to Lifeline several years ago, we wanted that to be our identity, a lifeline in the community. If you're here, we've got little cards that you can give out. They're called acts of kindness cards, where you just buy the person's meal behind you in the drive-through line and hand out the card that says, God loves you. You have no idea what that could mean for somebody. That could change somebody's whole life, and not only their life, but their whole family tree. Because they were just praying to a God, they weren't sure if they existed or not, and then they get one of these weird cards at Jack in the Box. You just never know. Be a lifeline. I'm telling you, it could save a life. It could save a family. Be a lifeline. If you're online today, that could just be sharing this on your own Facebook or the link via YouTube. Send it to a friend specifically that needs this. How about that? Instead of just, I'll share it on my page, why don't you send it to someone and say, hey, I listened to this message, jump to minute 33, and this is really special. I think you'll enjoy it. That's called being a lifeline. That's called sharing God's word with someone else. And it's literally that easy. Being an evangelist is not hard. You can do this, and you can be a lifeline. So if everyone that's in the lawn or in the house, would you please stand to your feet with me? I want to pray a blessing over you. You get cursed enough out in the world. I think when you come to church, you ought to leave with a blessing. It's just my theory about it. And even online, this goes for you too. If you're in a position to stand and be at the ready and hold your hands out in front of you like you're about to receive something, it's a posture of receiving. So let me pray this blessing over you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray blessing over every single person that has been tuning into this service. Everybody listening to my voice right now, I pray blessings over their relationships, that they would be Christ-centered and therefore blessed. I pray over everyone's finances, that they would be Christ-centered. Our finances would be Christ-centered and therefore blessed. I pray for raises and promotions for those who are stepping out and trusting God with those finances. And I pray over the health of the church as reports are rolling in, doctor's reports are rolling in of sickness and unhealth. Lord God, we stand on your truth that you're our healer, and by your stripes we are healed. We stand in faith even when everything around us looks the opposite. We stand on your word, believing it to be true and believing who you are, who you say you are, and that your word is more true than the reality in front of our eyes. Lord, you're our healer. You're our healer. You're our healer, Lord. And we receive that healing today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.